Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, filling in for Brian Mackey today. Well, we are now entering the colder and darker months of the year, with our clocks turned back now, with daylight saving time coming into effect this past weekend. Sunset today, it's around 4:40 p.m., depending on where you are in Illinois, and it's only going to come earlier and earlier before the winter solstice on December 21st. For many, this shift to the dark, cold days of winter can coincide with an internal shift. Many people, and maybe even it's you, you start to feel more down than usual, lethargic, and no motivation or energy in your day. And it might not just be the so-called winter blues. It may be seasonal affective disorder, or SAD as it's called, and it affects an estimated 10 million Americans each year. Joining us to discuss SAD and offer some helpful tips to endure seasonal depression are Sally Weinstein. She's a licensed clinical psychologist, associate professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Illinois Chicago, and associate director at the University of Illinois Center on Depression and Resilience. Sally, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
Also with us is Courtney Bowdy, who practices under the name Dr. Courtney. Courtney is a PhD licensed and board certified counselor and counselor educator practicing in Illinois and Missouri, clinical director for the Counseling Hub, and former associate dean and director of counseling services at the Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, our lines are open, 800-222-9455. Do you suffer from seasonal depression? Do you have tips or strategies for getting through the dark, cold winter months? Or if you have any mental health questions related to seasonal depression or the winter blues, our lines are open at 800-222-945. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So let's get a definition on the books here. Sally, tell us what seasonal depression is. What's the clinical definition?
Sure. So seasonal affective disorder, seasonal depression, the symptoms are the same as major depression, but we see clustering within the season, typically starting in the late fall or early winter, and then symptoms improving or going away during the spring and summer months. And that's known as winter pattern seasonal affective disorder, which is more common. Less common is the experience of these symptoms and episodes tied to the summer months, which would be summer pattern. And the symptoms are the same that we would use to diagnose major depression, which is feeling sad or low most of the day, nearly every day, less joy or interest in activities that previously were enjoyed, feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, guilt, and kind of at the more severe end, thoughts of death or suicide. And then we see changes in behavior. You mentioned some of these before: lower energy, feeling lethargic, problems with sleep. Typically with winter SAD, we would see oversleeping, changes in appetite. Again, for the winter pattern, overeating and weight gain are more common, and withdrawing from friends and family. And to meet full criteria, we would expect to see some combination of these symptoms occurring during that specific season for at least 2 years in a row.
Okay, so this is going to have to be an established pattern then to get that particular diagnosis.
Exactly.
So when do you know? Now, we've talked about it, you know, needing to be 2 years, but if it's not consistent, what if it happens 1 year and not the next? Or what if we, you know, what's the difference between a funk and truly having SAD?
Well, you know, I think this all exists on a continuum. And so it kind of goes from funk to meeting full criteria for SAD. To meet that full criteria, we'd expect to see it 2 years in a row, although you may not experience those symptoms every year. But even if you're experiencing some of those symptoms, that's still really important to pay attention to and to seek treatment for, because it can still interfere with functioning, work, school. And so even if it's less than full criteria, these sub-threshold symptoms are still really important.
Okay. And Courtney, you work as a clinical therapist. Do you see more depression in your clients during the winter months, and specifically in Illinois, in the Midwest?
In general, I would say yes. And one of the ways that I try and describe it to people is to say, okay, I know we don't think about ourselves in this way, but we're mammals too. And it's relatively common among mammals to engage in some form of hibernation. And so what I'll often do is talk about, well, what takes place in the shift between warm versus colder weather? When it's warmer, people are outside more, they're interacting and closer in physical proximity to others. You're also soaking in more vitamin D. You're seeing more signs of life and growth, such as the sun, green trees, and animals and insects. And summer is generally associated with a bit of relief or even some time away from some of the normal activities where a person might be able to centralize or prioritize leisure. And so in general, winter represents a bit of a retreat from the cold and a harsher sort of season overall. And so there are reasons why it can be adaptive for our species to exhibit some of these symptoms. The problem is that it can become disruptive, and I don't think it feels good, you know, overall for folks.
Okay. And just to make a quick correction, I said daylight saving time is coming into effect, actually ended. Sorry, I know I'm one of millions of Americans who have made that incorrect statement. So my apologies there. Courtney, I want to stay with you. So, you know, on these days where we can't be outside until 7:30, 8 o'clock and doing all the, these great outdoor activities, you know, what are some things that we need to do to maybe take a little extra care of our mental health during these cold, dark months?
Absolutely. I think that there's a real significant value in planning for your own well-being. And so I think if you can predict that every year there's going to be this major shift in how you relate to the world outside your home or outside your place of work, then you can schedule times, for example, to do walks during daylight hours. Perhaps in the warmer months, you may have spent a little bit more time like having lunch during that time period. What if you were to get with a friend or peer or colleague and take a 10 or 15 minute walk during the time when it's lighter? I also think about some of the more significant treatments in terms of what we see in the research. And we note that more vitamin D and more exposure to light, even if the light is synthetic, can go a long way. And so I will encourage people who are exhibiting these signs to purchase a relatively inexpensive light that is prescribed. And you'll see on the box when you look for it online, you could find it anywhere these days, that does phototherapy. And the idea is that you would expose yourself somewhat indirectly to 15, 20 minute increments of that light. And we note that what it does is help to counter that effect of experiencing more darkness overall.
And I want to talk about that light a little bit later in the show. But if you're just joining us, listeners, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, filling in for Brian Mackey today. Right now, we're talking about mental health and particularly seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, as we enter those darker months here in Illinois. Guests today are Sally Weinstein. She is a clinical psychologist and associate professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Illinois Chicago and associate director at the University of Illinois Center on Depression and Resilience. Also with us is Courtney Bodie, also known as Dr. Courtney. He is a licensed and board-certified counselor and counselor educator practicing in Illinois and Missouri and clinical director for the Counseling Hub. And we also want to hear from you in this conversation. The number to call is 800-222-9455. We can take your mental health questions at 800-222-9455. Do you feel more blue during the winter months? How do you persevere? Or if you've got questions for our guests, give us a call now. So, Sally, let's go to you really quickly. What are some of those, and we talked about this earlier, if you are a normally energetic or bubbly person and you notice some things are just sort of off, is there a checklist or something that you can, you know, run against yourself to make sure that you're okay?
Sure. I think checking in with yourself is so important. And as we mentioned, you know, this type of SAD really recurs each year. So this is something that you probably know about yourself, that as the daylight hours shrink, as the cold starts to set in, I typically tend to feel a little bit different. My mood goes down, my energy goes down. And those are the things that you'd want to check into. What's my mood most of the day? Am I noticing a shift downwards in my mood, at least at some point of the day, many days of the week? Am I still having fun in things that are usually fun, or does it feel more like I'm going through the motions? Kind of what's my activity and energy level? There's always ebbs and flows in our energy and our motivation, but am I noticing it to be more of a significant shift and kind of consistent with this fall pattern?
Okay. All right. And Courtney, we're going to go to you. Are there communities or demographics that are more vulnerable to SAD than others, or is this just at random?
It's, I would say that the findings are less explored when it comes to looking at, for example, cultural differences in a way that feels really confident. But what I can say is that some people who have access to fewer means are often in positions where there's less information and knowledge about health and well-being and less opportunities to be able to use things like commercial insurance. And so in general, I am often thinking about and concerned for those who may have a lower level of education or as we saw during the heightened element of the pandemic, people who are just exposed to other people working indoors and engaging in work and not necessarily leisure or social engagement or factors along those lines.
Okay. All right. And Sally, we are, you know, entering these winter months now in the second year of the pandemic. And it just seems like there are so many factors. Like life has been sort of tough, right? We've had a lot going on in the way of political division, difficult conversations about race and climate change and supply demand issues. You know, how do these other sort of things factor in to seasonal depression, or do they?
Sure. No, that's such a wonderful point, because with all of mental health, there's usually not just one single cause, but so many different factors that are working together in combination. And psychologically and sociopolitically and culturally, there are so many factors that can influence the onset of seasonal affective disorder. Beyond even those that you mentioned, there's also just the expectations about winter, the limitations of winter, the stresses that come with winter, some of these that Courtney mentioned before. You know, we have less leisure time. We are expecting that we're going to be indoors more. For kids, the novelty of the school year has worn off, and the academic demands get increasingly more challenging during these months. So the psychological and sociopolitical factors certainly play a role interacting with the environmental cues, like the decrease in the hours of daylight, which also interacts with our biology and the regulation of different chemicals in our brains and our bodies that regulate mood, like serotonin and melatonin, which is responsible for our body's sleep-wake cycle. So all of these factors in combination and in concert, I think, can give rise to more of these significant disruptions in our mood and behavior that coincide with this season.
Okay. And Courtney, we touched on the lights a little bit ago. I have one. I swear by it. Our producer Ryan has one, swears by it. Let's talk a little bit about this, because this, you know, for a lot of people is a great tool in the toolbox. So give us the checklist, you know, how much time, the power, what do we need to know about these lights?
Sure. So speaking of people who make use of these, I recently got one myself and it's been tremendous. And the advice that I was providing earlier about planning for your own well-being, that's a key example of what I was seeking to do there. I rather enjoy the darker months and those sorts of things, but like everyone else, can feel a stronger sense of heaviness. And then when you add all of the additional options for or opportunities rather to experience isolation, since more people are working from home and all that kind of stuff, I think it's the perfect time to be planning for your own prevention. So this concept is formally known as phototherapy, photo meaning light. And the idea is that you're getting something that has a high power to it. And honestly, I would like to make it simple for you, I would just go on Amazon or something like that where you can look at ratings and reviews to get a sense, not just of what the manufacturer might be speaking about, but also what other people's experience has been. And so if you go and you see something that's been rated, you know, 6,000 times and it's a 4.5 out of 5, to me, that's like probably something you should consider taking a good look at. Many of them will be about 10,000 lux, which is a way to describe the light level or intensity. And although there isn't a perfectly prescribed amount of time that people should be using, mostly because cases of depression vary, Generally speaking, you're talking about 15-minute increments,
okay.
And that's generally the recommendation I'd like to make.
All right, Courtney, thank you so much. We've got a wrap there. Courtney Bodie, known as Dr. Courtney, and Sally Weinstein, clinical psychologist and associate professor of clinical psychiatry. Thank you both so much for coming on to the 21st today to talk about seasonal depression.
Thanks for having us.
The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson and Zany Qureshi and Brielle Scalark. TD and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwood is the news director.